The IBRT's Threadless store is now open. T-shirts, hoodies, even phone cases and protective face masks are now available at our very own merch outlet, iceboxradio.threadless.com. Choose from the IBRT logos, Scoop Sisters, Funny in a Small Town, Frozen Frights, and more. Then choose your merch. Clothing for men, women, and kids in a variety of colors. Accessories including buttons, stickers, mugs, and tote bags. Even notebooks and skateboards are available, and every sale helps the Icebox Radio Theater continue to bring the Northland's stories to the world. That's the Icebox Radio merch store at iceboxradio.threadless.com or just visit iceboxradio.org.
Our first play this evening was written by Jeff Adams nearly 40 years ago as a Christmas gift for his family. It's been adapted to radio several times and was broadcast on the Icebox Radio Theater's Calls to Santa program back in 2014. So now sit back, relax, and get ready to enter into the world of Imagination Theater with The Christmas Room.
Christmas Room, A Story of Hope by Jeffrey Adams. Once, in a place quite nearby but still different from here, there lived an old man named Ned. Ned lived in a tiny attic room that was cold at night and hot during the summer and too small at every time of year. Ned didn't like the room very much, but he didn't much like the idea of leaving it either. After all, people left Ned alone up in his attic room, and if there was one thing Ned disliked most in this world, it was people.
Oh, what is it?
Hello, Ned.
Hello yourself.
Now, there was one thing about this room I should mention. It was located high up in the attic of a church.
How are you today?
That shy, nervous man is the pastor of the church. Pastor Knack is his name. He's very nice and very wise, but Ned frightens Pastor Knack a little bit.
Oh, I'm fine. And I'll get out.
But then Ned frightens just about everybody. Now, Pastor Knack was very good at his job. He not only did the regular pastor things, like marrying people and baptizing babies, he did a really nice job of helping everyone he could, especially in an emergency. Ned had come with just such an emergency 3 years earlier and decided to stay. That was a real problem for Pastor Knack because the room wasn't supposed to be Ned's forever. It was supposed to be for anyone who needed it, anyone with an emergency. Emergencies like the one happening just a few blocks away from the church. It was a cold, windy night, and sitting at a bus stop was a young woman in an old, old coat and a little girl, only about 8 years old, with a slightly newer coat. Her name was Karen, and the young woman, Jen, was her mother. They were out of money, and Jen was trying to figure out what to do.
Mommy?
Just a second, hon. Oh, these shoes.
Maybe we should stop walking.
You tired, sweetheart?
Yeah, but so are you. Maybe we should go to the hamburger place. Only this time, you get to eat. I'll just play on the playground.
Oh, Karen, I don't think we can afford it.
What can we afford?
I'll think of something. Look, I'd better make it quick, too. It's quite starting to snow.
Yeah, snow. It's so pretty. Look at it dancing in the streetlights.
Yeah.
Mommy, look. Up there on the hill.
What is it?
It's a church. I didn't see it till we looked up into the streetlights. A church is God's house, right? He always has a room.
Karen, I don't think...
Come on!
Had grasped her hand and began pulling her right up to the church door and pulled her right inside. And of course, Pastor Knack, being very good at his job, was more than happy to give Karen and her mom a place to sleep.
Oh no, it's no bother at all. We're happy to help.
Oh, if you're sure.
As it happens, we have a room reserved just for this situation.
See, Mom, I told you they'd have a room.
Now there's an interesting thing you should know about Pasternak. He's, well, a little forgetful. He was so happy to help Karen and her mom that he got some blankets and pillows and headed for the door of the little room, completely forgetting about...
What is it?
Ned.
Oh, that's right.
Hi, we're gonna be roommates.
What's that?
Oh, I'm sorry, Ned. I'm not...
What's going on here?
We're very sorry. Come on, Karen.
What's wrong?
Nothing. We need to go.
Why?
We've come to the wrong place.
Oh, please, just let me explain.
Oh, you're kicking me out. Oh, is that it?
No, of course not.
Oh, I knew it. I knew it on the coldest night of the year, too.
Sir, we didn't mean to disturb you. We'll leave.
You don't understand. It's all my fault. I'm very forgetful sometimes.
That's all right. We'll just...
Sleep in the corner.
Karen!
There's a lot of room, and the man won't kick us out. He just said it's the coldest night of the year.
Oh, I won't, will I?
Oh, Ned, please.
Is your name Ned? Hi, I'm Karen.
Oh, toss me out, right on my ear.
Wait. Ned, no one is being tossed out. It is far too cold an evening for anyone to be on the streets.
Well, I don't want any...
And we have enjoyed your company for some time without asking anything of you. I think it's not too much to ask that you offer up one small corner of the room for these people.
I thought it was my room.
I'm sorry, Ned. This is an emergency. You'll just have to learn to share.
Ned was angry, but he didn't say anything more. Mostly, he was just surprised because this was the first time Pastor Knack had ever stood up to him. Ever. So with nothing else to do, Ned rolled over, shut his eyes real tight, and pretended there was no one else in the room. In a few minutes, Pastor Knack returned with a mattress, some sheets, and two extra warm blankets. The mattress was quite small, but by snuggling close together, Karen and her mom just managed to fit. When they were all snug and warm, Karen's mom said,
"Oh, honey, time to say your prayers."
Dear God, thank you for Grandma Ruth and Aunt Reba. And please help Mommy find a job real soon. Oh, and bless the grumpy man who shared his room with us. Oh, yeah, and God, it's Christmas time down here. And I know we're supposed to be celebrating Jesus' birthday and not just getting presents and stuff. But please, could I have the Christmas room I told you about? That's the little room with the warm fireplace and the Christmas decorations that will stay up all year round so everyone can remember that Christmas needs to come every day if it's going to do any good. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
All right, now be extra quiet.
Okay, Mommy. Butterfly kiss.
Butterfly kiss.
And with that, Karen rolled over, closed her eyes, and drifted off to sleep. After a little bit, Karen's mother began to breathe peacefully, and then the only person left awake in the room was Ned. Now Ned, if you remember, did not like people. He especially didn't like sharing his room with them. But as he lay there, listening to Karen and her mother sleep, something strange happened. Ned began to feel a little bad, and so, he decided to give them the room, at least for the night.
Need to be someplace with more privacy anyway.
So Ned got up, very quietly, opened the door, tiptoed into the hall, and then...
Where are you going?
Oh, Jesus, give me a coronary.
I'm sorry, but where are you going?
I gotta go. There's things I forgot I had to do, A dentist appointment.
It's night.
He's a night dentist.
Oh, okay. I need you to help me first.
What?
Shh, you'll wake Mommy. Here, I'll close the door. I need you to pray with me.
Didn't you do that before?
That was just goodnight prayers. I need to pray something special for Mommy.
Oh, look, maybe that minister's around here someplace. You should...
Please, it'll only take a minute.
Okay,
get down on your knees.
What? Why?
Because it's a special prayer. Come on.
Oh, all right. Oh, my knees. Now what?
Just bow your head and pray. I'll do all the talking.
Oh, that's very big of you.
Shh. Okay, here we go. Dear God, it's me, Karen again. I just wanted to say that Mommy really needs your help. She's sad all the time because we don't have a place to stay. And I know you gave us this nice room and everything, but it'd really help her if we had something more regular. And could you please stop me from asking for the Christmas room ever again? I think that's what's making her so sad. And it's not really important anyway. Just make her happy again. That's all I want for Christmas. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going back to bed now. Do you need help getting up?
Oh, of course not. Say, what is this Christmas room you're going on about?
Oh, it's just from a story I read once.
You read?
Mm-hmm. Ever since I was little. Mom likes to go to libraries because they're free.
And you read a story?
Yes. It was about a little room in a house that was decorated for Christmas all year long.
Well, so what?
Oh, don't you see? It'd be wonderful. There'd be a tree there all the time, and a fireplace, and a bookcase full of Christmas books. And everyone could go there and have hot chocolate, even if it was 100 degrees outside. And that way, we could all remember Christmas all year long.
And you'd be willing to give that up just so your mom was happy?
Well, I guess if Mom were happy, I'd have Christmas every day anyway.
Ned was very quiet for a long time. Finally, he took Karen's hand.
I changed my mind. Help me up.
And he got up. Then he looked at Karen, really looked at her for the first time, and something in Ned's eyes softened just a little bit, as if Karen was reminding him of someone he hadn't thought about in a long time.
Run along back to bed. Your mom will be missing you.
Karen ran back into the little room and closed the door silently. Ned just stood in the hallway for a very, very long time. He thought about praying and about Karen and about some things he hadn't thought about in years. Ned left the church that night, and he spent a good part of that cold evening walking the streets of town, thinking. Meanwhile, Karen and her mother, both very tired from what had been a really long day, slept right through the night and into the morning. Not long after the sun came streaming through the frozen window of the little room, a knock came at the door.
Are you decent? It's Pastor Knack.
Yes, is it time for us to leave?
Oh, no, heavens no. Take your time.
Good morning, Pastor.
Good morning,
Karen.
Karen, thank you. Did you sleep well? Good, excellent. There's a note for you.
I'm sorry?
A note for you. An envelope was under my office door when I arrived this morning, and I think there's something in it.
What is it, Mommy?
I don't know.
Open it. I love surprises.
It's a key.
Oh, my. Yes, and there's a note.
Come to 272 Maple Lane today after 1 o'clock. That's it. That's all it says.
It's a mystery.
Do you know anyone at this address?
No. It's an older part of town. Quite fashionable many years ago.
Come on, Mom.
Whoa, slow down, Squirt.
We have to get ready. We've got a date.
Had to drag her to do it, Karen managed to get her mother through their morning routine and down to Pastor Knack's office where they could look at a map of the city. A few hours later, Karen and her mother were walking down a quiet sidewalk in a neighborhood filled with huge houses. Some were beautiful, others weren't. all were old. And because Karen was very smart, she knew how to count addresses. And as she passed 262 and 264, she began to get very excited.
266? 268? It's just about here.
Karen, honey, slow down.
There it is.
Honey, wait.
Looking up ahead, Karen saw number 272. It was one of the most dingy, beat-up houses on the block. It had weeds in the front yard and paint peeling off the sides. It looked like no one had lived there for many years.
Karen, wait!
Now Karen should have obeyed her mother, but she was just too excited. She ran up to the door and put the key in the lock.
Karen!
And then the door opened.
Oh, my.
Mom, this is huge. Does anyone live here?
From the looks of the dust, I don't think so.
But they've got furniture and everything. Look at the shelves.
Careful, honey. Don't touch anything.
They've got books and little figures and all kinds of stuff. It looks like someone moved out of the house but left all their stuff behind.
And it was, too. Karen and her mother moved slowly through the first floor of the house, looking carefully at everything. They couldn't figure out why anyone would leave a perfectly good house like this. After about an hour, the two of them sat down for a family meeting on a big comfy couch in the living room.
Do you think someone just gave us this house?
No, honey. I don't know what to think.
It's nice.
It's very nice. All it really needs is a good cleaning.
Can we stay here tonight?
I don't think so.
But Mom, it's already dark outside. And did you look on the back porch? Someone left us a bag of groceries. Maybe an angel gave us this house.
Well, I don't think an angel, but I do suppose it wouldn't hurt to stay one night. I'm hungry, aren't you?
Starved.
So Karen and her mom went to work in the kitchen, putting together a modest meal from the groceries left on the back porch. After eating, Karen went to explore the house while her mom sat down on the big couch to look at an old photo album she'd found on the shelf. As she looked at black and white photos of people she didn't know, searching for some clue as to who had done this wonderful thing, Karen's mom found herself getting drowsy, and presently she drifted off to sleep. A little while later, Karen found her there, sleeping deeply. She snuggled up with her, and before long, both of them were asleep. The next day dawned bright and clear and freezing cold. It was Christmas Eve. Karen and her mom were happy to wake up in a cozy house that was all warm and out of the wind. The old house had an old-fashioned porch that was as big as the living room itself. And because the house was built on a small hill, the view from that porch was the whole city, spread out like a snowy blanket. Karen and her mom stepped out onto the porch that morning to get a little air.
Mom!
What is it?
Look!
That looks like a turkey.
It is? I didn't think they made them that big. Oh, look, there's a tree, too.
Is that a note?
Oh, read it.
Please prepare this bird for dinner tonight. And decorating the tree should keep the little one busy. You'll find everything you need in the pantry. I'm sorry to be so secretive, but you'll learn all tonight at 6. Well, that's assuming a lot. I don't even know if I can cook something like this.
Yeah, you can. You helped Grandma that time. She always said turkeys were easy.
Let's see if we can get it in the house first.
The rest of the day, Karen and her mom kept busy getting ready for that evening. Karen found some Christmas ornaments in the basement and spent all day decorating and redecorating the tree as she discovered new ornaments to add. As 6 o'clock grew closer, both of them began to get nervous. There was less work to distract them from wondering who had done this wonderful thing. And finally, after what seemed like hours and hours of waiting,
Should I get it?
Yes, Karen, let them in.
Merry Christmas!
Pastor Knack!
It was you?
No, I had quite a time finding this place. What?
You. It was you?
At the door? Yes, it was me. I'm sorry, were you expecting someone else?
Well, I don't know. Didn't you send us this house?
Oh, heavens, no. I never laid eyes upon it before.
But you came for dinner, right?
I certainly did. I got a note in my office saying to come here at 6.
Well, if you didn't do all this, then who did? Well, I guess I should.
Yes. Would you like me to answer the door?
Would you?
Of course.
Hello, everyone.
Ned!
Oh.
You came to dinner.
I came to dinner.
And so he did. Ned and Pastor Knack came into the table and sat right down. Pastor Knack fussed and complimented Karen's mother so much she actually blushed. And Karen kept jumping up from the table to bring more food. She seemed to have a story about each and every dish, what she had done to help, and how most of them were special foods that had been passed from her grandmother down to her mom. But all through dinner, Karen's mother kept looking at Ned as if she were trying to decide something. The four of them talked and laughed and told stories about Christmases past. Karen's mother told a story about the house she grew up in, and Pastor Knack told a very funny story about his first Christmas away from home. During a quiet moment when no one was saying anything, Karen looked at Ned and said,
"You haven't told a story, Ned."
I guess I haven't.
Can you tell one, please?
Karen.
No, it's all right. About time I said my piece anyway. Your mother over there is about fit to bust from curiosity.
I'm sorry.
Oh, don't be. Family that's been through what you've been through, you deserve an explanation. I shouldn't have done all the notes and whatnot. I guess I didn't know any other way.
Well, what would you like to say, Ned?
It's this house. My story, I mean. This house is mine, owned it for 50 years.
If this is your house, why were you...
Oh, that's all right. I'll tell you, little girl. I lived here 40 years. First off with my own daughter, then later my granddaughter. We had many, many wonderful Christmases here, and I'll never forget them. But there was one year, right around Christmas. I was living here alone. Susan, that's my granddaughter, was coming down for dinner. I didn't want her to. They said fog and maybe black ice. There was a car accident.
Oh, Ned.
It was this house. I told her to stay put at home, not to drive down. Oh, but she wouldn't hear of it. She wanted to have Christmas here. I guess after that I just never forgave this old house for staying empty. And I closed it up and left it to rot. I stayed away for a long time, but I guess no wound can stay open forever. Yesterday, I came back to see if the place could be of some use to someone.
That's a very nice story.
Yep. No, Missy, I know you have a story you ain't brought up yet.
But what do you mean?
Oh, I seem to remember a story about a certain room.
Oh.
Karen nodded sheepishly. Suddenly, she felt very shy. She loved talking about the Christmas room, the wonderful room she's always dreamed of that would stay decorated for Christmas all year round. But lately, Karen had been worried that talking about the Christmas room made her mother sad. So feeling a little mixed up and maybe a little worried for her mom, Karen, for one of the few times in her life, said nothing. Ned looked at her, and for the first time in years, smiled. Then Ned got up and held out his hard, wrinkled hand.
Come along, Missy. There's something you should see.
Karen took Ned's hand. Pastor Knack and Mom got up as well and followed Ned up the main stairs to the second floor of the old house. Then they followed Ned through a door Karen and her mom hadn't noticed before. It opened on a tiny staircase that wound up to an attic. And in one corner of the attic, there was another door.
What is this place, Ned?
Just the attic. But a few years ago, I framed off one corner for a separate room. It was for my granddaughter. She was an artist and wanted a room for a studio. Until a day or so ago, I hadn't been up here in years. That night I left the church, I came up here and, did a little remodeling. Go on, Karen, door's unlocked.
Oh my.
And the door opened upon a perfect little room. The wallpaper was bright with red Santas and little teddy bears. A small Christmas tree stood in the corner, all decorated and lit with twinkling lights. Against one wall was a real fireplace with a tiny fire crackling happily. There were four comfy chairs and a whole bookcase full of Christmas books. And all around the room were garlands and wreaths and mistletoe. And on the round window that looked out toward the street, frost had formed and snowflakes were flying by.
My granddaughter, she always loved Christmas. I couldn't think of a better use for this little room. Is it all right?
It's perfect.
And it was. For the rest of that evening, the four of them stayed in the Christmas room. Karen read from books about Dasher and Dancer, Frosty the Snowman, and the baby Jesus. And then, when all of them were a little sleepy, Ned asked Karen and her mother to stay in the house as long as they wanted. And of course, they said yes. The three of them stayed in the house a long time, until Karen was grown up, as a matter of fact. Ned was just as real a grandfather to Karen as could be. And through it all, the Christmas room remained exactly as Ned had made it. And even after years had passed and Karen had moved out and started a family of her own, she would return to that house and spend some time in the Christmas room now and again to remind her that Christmas isn't doing much at all if it isn't in all of us every day of the year. And for the rest of her life, forever and for always, Karen never forgot that. Good thing to remember, don't you think?
The Christmas Room was written and directed by Jeffrey Adams, sound engineering by Sonara Irwin. It starred Tom Pimenta as Ned, Caleb Sovers was Pastor Knack, Scotta Turner was Jen, and Grace Fleslin was Karen. Our storyteller was Karen Schickel.